In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So if you've been around St. Thomas very long, you may know that I'm typically inclined to hold up Jesus as a role model, an example for how we might best live our lives. But tonight, I'm not so sure. On the face of it, I want to caution you that today's gospel lesson does not contain a lesson for how to behave in church. The cleansing of the temple in John chapter 2 is at the same time funny and terrifying and confusing. This is not Jesus meek and mild, as we are accustomed to seeing Jesus portrayed. Instead, John doesn't portray Jesus as polite and gentlemanly, does he? In fact, Jesus comes across more like a violent extremist. If someone were to literally do what Jesus did on our church campus, indoors or out, there's a pretty good chance that one of us would be calling the police to ask for assistance. And we might even issue a trespass order to keep that violent and unstable person away. And so tonight's gospel reading is a scary story of a scary person that I'm not always sure that I want to be around. We read that Jesus made a whip out of cords and he drove out the livestock and turned over the tables stacked with coins and he yelled at everybody. Jesus was angry. Jesus' disciples saw Psalm 69, verse 10, come to life. Zeal for your house has eaten me up, and the scorn of those who scorn you has fallen upon me. Zeal for your house. What is zeal? Remember that one of the disciples is actually called Simon the Zealot, someone who belonged to a political party that might be as likely as not to use a knife or a sword in their partisan debates. Zeal is a passionate concern, even anger, for a cause or an idea. It is the outrage of a parent who sees their vulnerable child being bullied by another adult. It is the passion that God feels for God's people, the strong feeling that has caused God to extend God's mighty arm of power on behalf of God's people time after time, sometimes to vanquish the enemy without, sometimes to vanquish an enemy within their own hearts. And so Jesus cleared the temple because the temple was meant to be a place of worship, a place for people to draw near to God. And that purpose was being subverted by the sellers of livestock and the money changers. So Jesus drove them out. Because Jesus was consumed, eaten up by his compassion and by his concern that God's people be allowed to find God and not be waylaid by those hucksters outside. Jesus was clearing out what didn't belong in that space, what wasn't helping God's people to find God, and Jesus didn't seem at all concerned that the day's volume of sacrifices might be a little down as a result of the scene he created. So this leads me to ask, what is God's temple today? Now you can visit the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, the place where this actually happened, and you can see the beautiful mosque that sits there atop it. But there is no more Jewish temple. And so as Christians, we believe that God makes God's temple, God's home, where? Yeah, in our hearts. And so if zeal, if righteous anger and outrage characterized Jesus' attitude towards those random street vendors that he found within the temple precincts in Jerusalem, what do you imagine Jesus' feelings are toward the disordered affections in our own hearts? These are the things that our Lenten practices are meant to help us to recognize and to address. And so we take from our first reading the 10 words, the 10 commandments. And maybe we take even that commandment to rest, to observe a Sabbath. And we have to understand these things in the light of what Jesus did. These commandments, the whole law, are God's expression of love for us. These 10 commandments are God's whip of 10 cords designed to cleanse us from everything that would trip us up or hold us back or prevent us from drawing close to God. The law of God is a series of lessons in the nature of God's love, a love that is characterized by its active zeal. Like a nurse piercing your skin to inject a life-saving vaccine, Jesus is that fiercely determined lover of your soul who is willing to do what it takes to love you genuinely. Even if it means knocking over a few tables or offending a few people along the way. Now, you'll note, too, that Jesus' zeal was not turned toward doctrines or spiritual niceties. Jesus wasn't paying attention to who genuflected at the right time in the liturgy or who knew the words by heart. Jesus was concerned with actions, with people who take advantage of one another, with how they treated even strangers. People they didn't know. People for whom they didn't feel any personal responsibility. Whenever there are people hurting in the world, whether I think I bear any fault for their condition or not, Jesus is calling me to repentance, to change, to right the wrongs that I've done, and even those things that I think had nothing to do with me. I have to tell you, as I was thinking about our scriptures this week and the call of God to pray, it's hard for me to pray to God to turn over the tables in my life and to drive out the sacred cows from my heart. Because if that's what's best for my soul, then I believe that God and God's love will do it, that God will answer my prayer, and that's a scary thing. And so my flesh rebels and wants to hold on to those things that I think make life comfortable or pleasant or affirming. But God and God's faithfulness is offering me something better than whatever it is that I'm holding on to. And that is the promise that has been handed down to me by the church, and by my family, and by all my Christian sisters and brothers back through the millennia. It is the promise that resurrection waits on the other side of the cross. The promise that God is waiting to enter into the space that I clear out for God during Lent or whatever other season. And Jesus stands willing to help with that work. Jesus, the carpenter, it turns out, is also good at demolition. Zeal for God's house, zeal for our hearts, still consumes Jesus, still characterizes the very essence of God. God's zeal for you burns just as brightly today, offering to burn away every distraction, every false path, so as to leave you to enjoy forever the pure, unblinking flame of God's Holy Spirit, burning for you. Amen.